Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the word of redemption. Hallelujah. God's word is powerful. God's word is life-changing. God's word is all that we need. Jesus says one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good path which no one can take away from her. God's word is the ultimate. Praise God. You know, there's a major crisis in the body of Christ. It's a crisis where people's minds, people's focus are fixed on objects. Objects, mantles, oil, all kinds of funny objects. Water, oil, different objects. The hem of the garment of somebody. Hallelujah. The chair of the GO or the pastor or the bishop, anybody. People are fixated on objects. Unknown to them, the greatest thing you can receive from a pastor or any man of God at all, any preacher at all, is a knowledge of the word. See, what stays with you in the long run is the word of God, is what you understand. That's what Jesus was saying here. Mary has chosen that good part which nobody can take away from her. Once an understanding of the word of God comes, it stays. There are many things you have been given that, you know, in the days to come, you discover that they will not avail. They won't avail. For instance, the anointing oil or the handkerchief that you were given in church or the comb, you know, that's a new one, or the comb that you are given in church, will not be with you everywhere. So if there is danger in the city, if there's temptation in the city, imagine if Jesus was relying on a comb or an handkerchief, and then the devil comes tempting him, then he's looking for his handkerchief or his comb. that's the peril of the Christian whose mind is focused on objects, whose mind is fixed on objects, who is looking onto objects rather than looking onto Jesus. Hallelujah. Rather than looking onto Jesus. Your mind is not meant to be fixed on those things. Your mind is meant to be stayed on the word of God. Jesus quoted the scriptures because that is what he had fed on. Hallelujah. Spontaneously began to quote, replying Satan. You must realize that the word of God is the ultimate thing to go after. God's word is the ultimate thing to go after, to search, to stay with. Because this is what will avail in the times to come. Glory to God. So I welcome you to another episode of Everyday with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 119. And then today we are going to be putting to rest our study on what to do if and when I sin as a Christian. It's been very powerful so far. Eye-opening, enlightening, and it's been very, very instructive. Praise God. Very instructive. Very instructive. Praise God. So today we're going to just round off by saying one more time the reason why you ought not to fix your mind on trying to break free from addictions, trying to break free from sin, you know, sinful habits this time as a Christian when you find yourself stuck in a particular habit. When you're addicted to something, your focus should not be on trying to break free from that thing. Your focus should be on spiritual maturity. Your focus should be on growing up into Christ in all things. Your focus should be on renewing your mind. Praise God. You see, you'll be making a very serious mistake if you misapply or misunderstand or misinterpret certain instructions given in scriptures. For instance, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this word, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some have run off from this text to start trying to not conform to the word. And you see, that's a major problem you are trying to create for yourself. The instruction is to not be conformed, quite all right, not be conformed to the word, but then it shows you how you won't be conformed to the word. It is not by trying to not conform to the word. It is by the renewing of your mind you are going to be transformed. So that means your focus is not on not trying to conform to the word. Your focus is on renewing your mind. No matter how much you try to not conform to the word, if you don't busy yourself with renewing your mind, you'll find yourself eventually conforming to the word, even though you are running away from the influence of the word. Do you understand that? So, it is not about trying to struggle to not conform to the word. That's why believers who approach Christian living, who approach developing new conducts in Christ Jesus from the standpoint of legalism, eventually mirror the attitudes they are running away from. They eventually find themselves exhibiting the conduct of the world. They eventually find themselves exhibiting everything they are condemning. Praise God. Because they got it all wrong from the beginning. The idea is not to try to not conform to the world. The idea is to renew your mind. Not conforming to the world is a byproduct of renewing your mind. It is not the other way around. If you try to not conform to the world, you will still conform to the world. If you don't busy yourself with renewing your mind with the truth of the word of God. So the renewal of the mind is what you are meant to focus on. Renew your mind with your identity in Christ. It is when you are deeply aware that you are different. You are not the same like the world. You are of a different spirit. And you are aware of that which is yours in Christ Jesus, that you're able to walk contrary to the ways of the world. Praise God. So you can misinterpret Bible instructions. This is another instruction that can be misinterpreted. Galatians 5. Hallelujah. And you know, I said the focus again is to see how you ought not to fix your mind on trying to break free from habits or addictions. No, your mind should be focused on learning Christ and growing up into Him in all things. Galatians 5 is another portion of scripture that can be misunderstood and misapplied. Galatians 5, and I'll read from verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you know how a lot of Christians try to obey this portion of scripture? They try to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So they are struggling to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They are struggling to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why don't you watch TV? TV. I don't want to sing. Okay, why don't you relate to people? You don't go out at all. You don't hang out. You know. You don't attend parties. Parties. I don't want to sin and all that. So, the focus is on trying to not sin. Trying to not sin. To not fulfill the lust of the flesh and all that. And you see, that's a very weak approach. It's a weak approach. Praise God. Because whether you like it or not, you will still relate to people. Whether you like it or not, you still come in contact with that media you're running from. You come in contact with it. The devil will bring it to your neighborhood. the devil will bring it to your neighborhood. There will be a neighbor somewhere that will play that song you don't like hearing, that song you don't want to listen to, that song that you and I know that is ungodly, is devilish, the content is misleading. We don't want to listen to it. That song, the devil will bring it to your environment. He will bring it to your compound if you are not even careful. And it will play in your mind. That's where the problem will now start. That's when you discover that you have not focused on the right thing. That's when you discover that rather than being able to cast that tongue away and being able to dust it off and being able to rebuke those thoughts and walk in the Spirit, you'll be struggling with those thoughts. They would overwhelm your mind so much that they will mislead you. It will translate into actions and conduct. Do you understand? Because you have not set the word around your mind as a guard. Glory to Jesus. You know, you've not put the word of God around your mind as a guard. Because you were not focused on walking in the Spirit. Your focus was on not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Whereas, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh is a byproduct of walking in the Spirit. So your focus should be on walking in the Spirit. I see that word walk is the word that means to be occupied with something, to be preoccupied with something. So it is not about trying to not fulfill the lust of flesh. It is about being preoccupied with spiritual activities. It is about being preoccupied with the things of the Spirit, the Word of God, prayer. Imagine how Jesus lived his life. He didn't try to, you know, he wasn't trying to live above temptations. He wasn't trying to not fall into sin. No, he just busied himself with spiritual things. He gave himself to spiritual things, spiritual activities. He fasted, he prayed. He was given to the Word of God, and then strength was available to overcome every temptation that came his way. So that's the way to obey this instruction. Occupy yourself with the Spirit. Be preoccupied with spiritual activities. Look at this other place. Colossians in chapter 3. Hallelujah. Colossians in chapter 3. You see, for too long, the church of Jesus has been tormented. The body of Christ has been tormented for too long by preachers who emphasize breaking away from habits, who emphasize a walk in holiness without emphasizing the substance that bets those attitudes. Hallelujah. The revelation knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus. Men who proclaim and teach and emphasize a need for men to stay away from lust without showing them how to walk in the Spirit. There's been so much pressure on the mind of many saints. So much pressures that have availed nothing. Hallelujah. Many believers have become frustrated. Some are beginning to doubt their salvation. They are not sure because their approach is a wrong one. You are not to try to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The focus should be on walking in the Spirit. Busy yourself with spiritual activities. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Glory to God. Glory to God. Colossians in chapter 3. And you have to learn this very well so you are able to also teach others. There are many dying souls out there. There are many souls, even in the body of Christ, in the body, in the faith today, that are sick and tired. Hallelujah. We must rescue this generation. We must rise up and rescue this generation from the stronghold of religion. Colossians in chapter 3, I'll read from verse 1. That is, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is alive, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So you know what? A preacher who is so passionate about conduct, without being passionate about what Jesus has done, hijacks this text, verse 5, and begins to preach a powerful sermon. A powerful sermon. A oath-fearing sermon. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Stop fornicating. Move away from uncleanness, evil passion, and desire, and covetousness. Don't be covetous. He hijacks the text. He hijacks the text in the midst of an instruction that already shows you how to put to death all these attitudes. Hallelujah. The instruction is not just about putting away the attitudes. It shows you how. How do you get it done? By setting your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. So if you focus on not fornicating, and you focus on not, you know, committing adultery, and you focus on not having evil desire, and you focus on not walking in covetousness, you will still fall into all those things. But if you focus on setting your mind on things above, where Christ is seated, do you know what it means to set your mind on things above? That phrase, set your mind on, it actually means to intensely interest yourself in something. Hallelujah. It means to draw your mind and its affections and desires after something, to deliberately be interested in something. So you place your mind and your affections, your will, your thoughts, you place it and set it upon the word of God. You crave it. You go for it. You go after it. You are nourishing your mind day by day with the truth of the word of God. And you know what? The byproduct is that you'll be able to put to death these attitudes of the flesh. Glory to God. That's exactly how to get these things done. So the focus is not on breaking free from addictions or attitudes. The focus is always going to be on growing up into Christ in all things, on renewing your mind. You know, it is the state of your mind that controls your actions. It is the state of your mind that controls your attitudes. It is the state of your mind that controls your thoughts. So if you focus on renewing your mind, then you will have won the battle where it matters the most. Hallelujah. You'll have won the battle where it matters the most, because your mind is what dictates how you think and how you act, how you think and how you behave. So if you renew your mind, then you'll be able to renew your thoughts and renew your actions. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Glory to God. Your focus should not be on overcoming habits or addictions. Your focus should be on spiritual growth. As you grow up in the faith, you discover that you begin to outgrow those habits that you were struggling with before meeting Christ. Glory to God. Before meeting Christ. So let's go back to Galatians 5. Let me show you this. Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you another reason why your focus should be on growth. Your focus should be on renewing your mind. Your focus should be on walking in the Spirit. Let me show you this quickly. At Galatians chapter 5, and then I close. Hallelujah. Galatians in chapter 5, look at this now. I'll read again from verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, and then so on and so forth. Look at verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now go back to verse 16. Oh, verse 17 rather. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So there's a you in between the Spirit and the flesh. Hallelujah. While the Spirit of God is within you, there's a you, hallelujah, that is meant to be subject or yielded to the influence of the Spirit or the influence of the flesh, that can either yield itself, that's a better way to phrase it, that is not meant to submit to the flesh, that can either yield or submit to the influence of the Spirit or the influence of the flesh. So you discover that idea of I'm trying to break free from addictions, and I'm focusing on trying to break free from addictions without focusing on a walk in the Spirit is going to be counterproductive, because the reason why I'm walking in the things of the flesh is because the flesh has control over my mind. Hallelujah. If I can submit and yield to the influence of the Spirit, then the Spirit will control my mind and eventually be able to produce in me the desired fruits. Hallelujah. So at verse 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And this is not to be disconnected from verse 16. It is a fruit of a walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is, it is as I begin to walk in the Spirit, these fruits are evident in my life. The fruits are there. Hallelujah. But the fruits will not be evident in my life until I walk in the Spirit. What is addiction? Addiction is such that you seem to not have control over it. That's why you find people say, I just could not help it. Before I knew it, I had done it again. So in that particular instance, it means you lack self-control. Now watch this. Self-control is missing, but in the Spirit. Hallelujah. In the Spirit. In the fruit of the Spirit, there is self-control. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hallelujah. It's just one fruit that has many angles to it, many areas. Self-control is one of the fruit of love, one of the fruit of the Spirit. The love of God has self-control. So this is not you controlling yourself. This is not you controlling your body. No. This is you submitting to the influence of the Spirit and then the Spirit having control over your mind. So, of course, you'll be the one taking the steps. You'll be the one fleeing from things. You'll be the one exercising control. But then, it is not an act of your free will, an exercise of your will in the natural. No, you are going to be exercising self-control because the Holy Ghost has given you the ability to. Hallelujah. The reason why you'll be exercising self-control is because the Holy Ghost has been able to influence you. And as such, you have the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Hallelujah. It is not you controlling yourself. It is the Spirit controlling you as you submit to the influence of the Spirit. Amen. So it's a wrong focus to be trying to break free from addiction or from sinful habits. It's a wrong focus because all that you lack at that point in time is self-control. And this self-control is in the Spirit. This self-control is in the Spirit and it is made available and evident in your life as you walk in the Spirit. Praise God. That is all you lack. Hallelujah. And I've always said this. God's answer to every flaw in conduct is the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. It's the same answer. It's the same solution. A lady that is promiscuous, fruit of the Spirit. A husband that is cheating, fruit of the Spirit. A woman that is nursing bad temper, fruit of the Spirit. Somebody that finds it difficult to forgive, fruit of the Spirit. God's only answer to all human flaws, all character defects, is the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. And this fruit of the Spirit is made available and evident in our lives as we walk in the Spirit. So our focus should be on walking in the Spirit. Our focus should be on feeding our minds with the Word of God till it prompts a walk. Glory to God. Let's see James chapter 1. Hallelujah. James 1 and verse 21. Bible says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Have you seen the man that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look? Hallelujah. You see that in it and continues in it. In it, there is in italics. So it just means the man that looks and continues to look. The man that fixes his gaze on the word. Hallelujah. That continues to look, that continues to look, that continues to look. Now, don't forget that looking into the word of God in this place is in the context of receiving teaching. That's why it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So to continue to look into the perfect law of liberty in this place means to perpetually remain under teaching, to always be taught. Hallelujah. Keep receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The man that keeps looking like this is the man that will become a doer of the word. Hallelujah. The man that keeps looking like this is a man that becomes a doer of the word. And of course, this leads you to having a personal commitment to Bible reading and to prayer. This is one of the things you'll also be taught. You'll be taught to know how to read your Bible. You'll be taught to learn to pray in your private space. So it's still all a function of being taught the word of God. Hallelujah. Finally, let's see Psalm 1. I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Have you seen that the byproduct of meditating in the word day and night is that the man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters? It's just a figure of speech to say that the man is going to flourish in the Lord. The man is going to flourish in the Lord. The man is going to find nourishment and sustenance. Hallelujah. It's a byproduct of fixing your mind on the truth of the word of God. So don't lose your focus. Don't be distracted. Remain committed to receiving the word of God. Remain under sound indoctrination, sound teaching, the truth of the word of God. Remain under spiritual training. Your life will not remain the same again. No matter how bad, how terrible the situation is, no matter how strong the addictions and the habits seem to have a hold on you, don't be distracted. Just remain under teaching. It's only a matter of time. Not too long from now, you'll come back with a testimony. I tell you what I know. You will come back with your own testimony. God's word has worked, and God's word is working. And it will work in your life too, as it has worked in your life in redemption. Hallelujah. You know, God's word has worked in your life in salvation. It will work in your life with respect to spiritual growth. God's word is powerful. It will not fail. You stay with it. Remain under it. Perpetually be taught. And your life will not remain the same again. The man of God, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, would always say, if you stick with the word, you'll come back with a testimony. I'm also saying the same to you. If you stay with this, you will come back with a testimony. Glory be to God. You see, and I want to give this to you as a word of counsel. You've been struggling with a particular thing, and then you feel a need to be accountable to somebody. Sometimes addictions and, you know, sinful habits, they thrive in secrecy. So sometimes it may be good, it may be right for you to open up to somebody if you want to. It's not a must though, because there are people who did not open up to anybody and eventually outgrew those things. So sometimes it's unnecessary. But if you feel a need to open up to somebody, you have to be very careful. Hallelujah. You must be very careful. Sometimes you open up to people and then from that day, they begin to see you through the eyes of your flaws. Not everybody is mature. You see, Galatians 6 says, those who are spiritual should restore in the spirit of gentleness. That means it's a particular set of people that are able to see you the way they ought to see you after you have opened up to them. It's only a category of people that can relate with you and deal with you, not based on your attitude flaws, on your character defects. Do you understand? Not based on your character defects. So you have to be very careful. Don't just go around in a bid to, you know, fulfill all righteousness. You just want to talk. You just want to talk. You may land yourself into serious trouble. You know, if there's a need to open up at all, reach out to your pastor. Do you understand? Reach out to those who are over you in the Lord. And not just any pastor too. A pastor that has a grace orientation. Not a pastor that would shout, after you open up and then you are confused. You don't even know why the person is shouting. Do you understand? A pastor that will listen to what you have to say and then properly guide you through a process of restoration. So you have to be very smart about this. But, you know, in all, just keep your focus. Remain under sound doctrine. Remain under sound doctrine and sound teaching, and your life will not remain the same again. So we've come to the end of this study. I trust that you've been blessed tremendously. You've been instructed. You've been enlightened. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We'll start another study. invite your friends, relatives, family members, colleagues, classmates, put on your WhatsApp status, social media handles generally. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of prayer, spiritual songs, full of faith, full of power, and then be a blessing to somebody by preaching the gospel. See you in the next episode.